Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, y'all? This is Ryan Mundy, and you're listening to Weekdays with Murph.
Listeners, and welcome to another edition of Weekdays with Murph. Today on the show, we welcome super talented singer-songwriter Amanda Page Cornett. I talk with Amanda about her career, music, and anything she's working on that she can talk about. This is going to be a fun one, folks. But before we bring Amanda on, I've got to give a big shout-out to Amanda's manager and my dear friend Jill for helping to set this thing up for us today. So that being said, let's go ahead and welcome the lovely Miss Amanda Page Cornett to the show. Hey, Amanda, how are
Hi.
you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well, and I've got to tell you, that was actually the first time I ever heard that song, and it's a rocker.
Yeah, I always call it a future classic rock song.
It's absolutely I was sitting there, air guitaring the solo.
Yes, I do that all the time.
I thank you again for doing this today.
Yes, I'm happy to be here. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. So, before we get into this, just kind of tell the listeners how you got into music in the first place.
Well, I have been probably singing since before I could talk, and started making up songs is probably as soon as I could, and I finally started writing them down when I was 9 years old, and I took piano lessons when I was younger, so I learned kind of the basic theory of music. I wish I could play now, because I can barely play. I can play a little bit, but at least I could read music, and I started playing guitar probably, I guess, late middle school, early high school, and had an amazing guitar teacher who had a top 10 hit when he was 15, Joe Bennett, with Joe Bennett and the Sparkle Tones, and he encouraged me to make writing a skill, not just a talent, and to write even when I didn't feel like it, because they lost their deal because they could only write when they felt like it. So that was invaluable. I've been writing ever since and putting out music and just developing who I am as an artist, and my band has been extremely integral in that. I've been playing with the Almost Angels band for over 9 years, and they've been a big part of my sound.
Nice. So this is sort of a life thing for you, isn't it? I mean, you've essentially done this your entire life, basically.
I've been doing music my entire life. Professionally, I've been doing it not quite as long, but I have been at it for a while. So I'm
right.
This is what I feel like I'm meant to do.
Right. And I know we talked a little bit about your manager Jill, who is a very, very dear friend of mine, and I gave her a shout out earlier. But how did that deal come about that you signed with them?
Well, I had been working with another PR company and learned a lot, and I happened to run into TJ, her partner, at an event, and we hadn't seen each other in a while. We knew each other from acting over the years. I think probably 7-8 years ago we had acted in something together and kind of would run into each other from time to time, and you know, every now and then if he was interviewing for a Nashville Entertainment Weekly TV show, he would throw me on as an interview, you know, and he told me that they had a PR company, and I told him about my album, Front Porch Rebel, and shared it with him, and we started talking, and it was just a really good fit, and it has been really great working with them.
Like I was telling you off air, I met Jill and TJ probably 3 or 4 years ago, something like that, at an event we were both invited to in Nashville, and we started talking or whatever, and I think I might have added them on social media first, but about a year later, I think it was about a year later after that, they invited me out to one of their Nashville Entertainment Weekly interview things. It was me and a bunch of other artists. Of course, I'm not an artist at all, but but they actually and this is one of the first times I'd gotten to do this, but I got to talk a little bit about what I do with the show, and it was refreshing and a little weird to be on the other side of the interview table. I'm not even gonna lie to you.
I bet, but that's good. I think it's good they realize, because they've been on both sides, how important it is to promote the people on all sides of on the insides and outs of music, entertainment, et cetera.
Right. Okay, so I did have a few kind of fun get-to-know-you questions, if you're okay with that.
Of course.
okay? If you weren't in the music business, what would you be doing right now?
If I didn't, just like going to school, I think that if it weren't for music, that I probably would have ended up doing orthopedic surgery.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I did sports
That's
medicine.
Awesome.
I've kind of blessed and cursed with well-roundedness, and I love the human body and how it works, mostly orthopedics, so I prefer that over working with sick people. But so, I mean, my undergrad was in exercise sports science and athletic training, and I'm fascinated by how the body works, and so that's what I kind of think, if it weren't for music, that I would have done.
That's awesome. I think you're the first person we've ever had on the show to say a doctor.
Yeah? Maybe I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't let everybody know how that I'm, if I'm smart or not.
Oh, man. Okay. Now, I ask pretty much every artist this, but if you could go back and change one thing about your career thus far, would you, and what would it be?
I would, if I could change anything about my career thus far, what I would do is when I started taking guitar lessons, I would have really dug in and learned the instrument and learned the theory on guitar. Knowing what I know now, I think it would have made me a much better player, a better musician, better artist. I've started doing that a little more, and I think it would have been a lot easier if I had done it from the get-go. And when I started playing, I just wanted to be able to play along with my songs. And as I've worked with the Nashville guitar guru, Dave Isaacs, I've learned, oh, you know what? I probably should have learned some of the theory on guitar. I probably would be a lot farther along if I had.
Right. And speaking of guitar, I'm actually a little bit of a player myself.
Awesome.
As a matter of fact, I have two guitars staring me in the face right now, as a matter of fact. I've got
I do
a
too. Wait.
I've got a Fender Californian. She's my baby. I absolutely love her to death.
Okay.
And a Johnson Electric.
Cool.
And the reason I started playing, well, I took lessons when I was much younger, probably third grade, something like that, much, much, much younger. But I fell out of it for many, many years. And I picked it back up again about maybe 5 or 6 years ago. And the reason I did is, well, partly was because Lindsay L. was teaching online guitar lessons.
Awesome.
And Lindsay L. is like one of the absolute best guitar players I've ever heard.
Was she playing her pink Strat?
I don't remember, to be honest with you. I think she was playing an acoustic, actually.
But, okay,
because
she has a pink Strat very similar to my Squire.
Nice. But, yeah, so I tune into her online lessons on Instagram, and I remember the first full song I ever learned how to play was Little Big Town's Girl Crush.
Nice.
And since then, I sort of taught myself how to play. Since then, since I knew the basics, but I found that a YouTube is a lifesaver.
A lot of people can really learn that way. I have a very hard time learning that way. But I can see how it is. I'm so much better with attention span when I'm in person with somebody and they can, if I get stuck, they can show me what I'm doing wrong.
Right. And I get that. And like I said, I've been playing guitar probably 5 or 6 years. I actually play This is the only time I ever play out. I play with a local band at an annual 4th of July show every year.
Oh, that's awesome. Did y'all get to play this year?
Not this year, unfortunately, because of the world being turned upside down, but, you know.
Yeah, that was the only full band show we've gotten to do since this all started.
Wow.
And thankfully, it was an outdoor. It was a place that was outdoors, so there was plenty of room to distance.
Nah. Right. Nice. And speaking of the pandemic and stuff, I know artists all across the board have lost so much at this point, but I've been talking to a lot of artists, and they've been using this time to just dig in and just write, you know. So, is it the same for you?
I have been writing some. It's slowed down a little bit since summer's hit, which always happens. So it's kind of surprising that it has still happened with coronavirus. I think more people are traveling to see family and stuff, even if it's just to see, you know, close family and friends. But I was writing a lot more, and one of my best friends had a family tragedy, and that kind of slowed things down a little for me trying to be there for her. And things are picking up a little bit more now and starting to book some more shows as things are starting to open up a little more. But it really did force writers to go to Zoom writing. And I will say that if there weren't technology when all this happened, it would have been very difficult, because writing on the phone would have been extremely difficult. Not being able to see writers' faces, not being able to see what's going on. Also, like, having programs like Google Docs where you can both be typing on the same document at the same time has been invaluable to continuing the creative process.
I remember, too, when things started to shut down and things got canceled, I'd be on Instagram, Facebook, or whatever, and there would be like 15 live streams at once.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And I've talked to a lot of artists about this too, and I'd be interested to get your take on it. I feel like since essentially nobody's allowed to go outside pretty much, I feel like that's put a bunch of artists, and I'm talking a big artist like Keith Urban, Brad Paisley, et cetera, on sort of the same playing field with the independent artists like yourself.
In some ways it has. One thing I appreciate about all the online concerts is it's allowed me to grow my fan base. An awesome songwriter here in town, Auburn Stevens, put together, at first it was, I think, either weekly or biweekly online music festivals where people would play live one after the other. And I think the cool thing was about that was people would tune in to hear somebody they knew or that they knew of, and then they'd stay on for a little while, and then maybe they'd discover another artist that they really liked. And I've had some really awesome fans find me because they tuned in, and now they're following me as well, which I 100% appreciate.
And that same thing sort of happened to me recently. A friend of mine used to host a live stream on Instagram every Tuesday at 7 o'clock, where she'd invite her artist friends to play. And more often than not, I know a few of the artists that were jumping on. So I'd pop in and see the people I knew, and like you said, I'd stick around and hear a bunch of people I didn't even know. So
yeah,
I understand that completely.
Absolutely, and it's given us at least a little bit of a way to make some revenue. When we play, especially in Nashville, apparently it's a Nashville thing, playing like ride arounds where more people get up and play one song at a time, and then the next you each play one, and then you go back and play another one. Which apparently people outside of Nashville, it's kind of a foreign concept. But when we play those nights, we play them to meet other writers and for our songs to get out there and to for different reasons like that, but we don't get paid. So one cool thing about the live streams is we've been able to post like our Venmo or PayPal, and people have been able to contribute. It's also given us a platform to say, please buy our music, please buy our music. You know, if you couldn't do this quarantine thing without music and entertainment, then please support the artists and entertainers that you love. So.
And speaking of Nashville, I mean, I live about maybe 2.5 hours west of Nashville. It's like my absolute favorite city in this world. I've been going to Nashville off and on for probably the last 20 years or so, and I just love it.
It's definitely a different city, which hopefully it'll come out of this pandemic and get some of its magic back, because right now it's very much hurting. The industry's...
Right.
The creative side's not hurting because people are still creating, and that's going to happen no matter what, because you can't stop people creating that we're born to. But as far as bars and restaurants and everything being shut down and people not being able to survive, because that's how that's their livelihood, I can only hope that it'll get back to somewhat of a normalcy where Music City can be music and live music again.
Oh, it will. I mean, if I know the city as well as I think I do, and the people as well as I think I do, it'll bounce back.
I think it will. I think that right now it's a battle, and I'm not getting into politics, but I think it's a battle between different people at different levels, the state and city fighting against each other to figure out what they want to do, and that's unfortunate because that's not what it's about, and it's kind of hurting the heart of Music City right now.
Like I said, I'm sure it'll bounce back. It pretty much always does. So, another question I had for you is when everything's said and done with your career, 30, 40 years down the road, or whenever that might be, what impact or legacy would you like to leave on the music industry?
Well, I already have a mission statement for my music to keep me grounded and to help me remember why I'm in music, because this is not an easy road. I wouldn't wish this on anybody in the world, but if it chooses you, it chooses you. And my mission statement is to create and execute authentic musical experiences people can deeply feel. And if I can continue to put out music that makes people feel something, that helps people through a hard time, or, you know, give somebody something to rock to on a day they're having a hard day, or give somebody, you know, a song that they can really relate to, whether it's happy, sad, mad, whatnot, if the songs that we write can impact somebody and help them realize they're not alone, then I feel like that's really what it's all about.
And I agree 1,000% with that. I mean, I'm one of those people, and I say this all the time. I go, if you give me a pair of headphones or any way to play music, I could literally entertain myself for hours.
Right.
And another thing, I'm such a music fan and such a music nerd that I prefer a full albums as opposed to singles. I will sit there and listen to a full album top to bottom.
Yeah. I am the same way. And actually, when my band and I went down to Muscle Shoals to record the Front Porch Rebel album, which is what Six String Showdown's on, we went down and we cut 16 songs and we kept 15 of them. And that's somewhat unheard of these days, but we were producing the record ourselves. My guitar player, Randall Scott Peterson, and I co-produced it. We spent 6 months in pre-production, and that's something that people used to do a lot, and I don't feel like they do that quite as often anymore. But we really wanted to make an album that was great both lyrically and melodically, and he's definitely the melody guy. I'm definitely more the lyric person, and we had a really good yin-yang going on, and it was so much fun. And then we took the real band down there, and we had rehearsed up here so that we had a good grasp on all the songs and the arrangements that we had made, because some of them were different than how we had played them for years. And we went down and got to add people like Spooner Oldham and Mark Normore and Walt Aldridge and all these amazing musicians, and it was magical.
I'll have to definitely check out that album when I have a chance, because if Six String Showdown is anything like that album, I'm in for a treat.
Yeah, and it's got a little bit of everything. I like to call our music Southern Rock and Soul. It's a mix between the Judds and Joplin. It's got a little bit of rock, a little bit of country, a little bit of blues all mixed together, and we think it fits pretty well together.
Nice. You sold me. I'm definitely checking it out.
You can get it anywhere. And if you want physical copies, anybody can let me know, or can go to our website, AmandaPageCornett.com, and send us a message, and we can arrange getting people physical copies as well.
Awesome. As soon as you said Southern Rock, I was sold.
Well, I get it honest. Marshall Tucker Band, it's from my hometown, and so I've grown up listening to Southern Rock, and it's been a part of my life pretty much forever. So it's something that it came naturally, and when my music kind of melded into what it is, that's where we landed.
Yeah. Marshall Tucker, Skynyrd, I mean, just the list goes on, you know.
Absolutely. I've gotten to play with Artemis Pyle, played with my band one weekend back in South Carolina, which was pretty amazing. One of the drummers from Lynyrd Skynyrd, and I've gotten to play with one of the bass players from Marshall Tucker Band, and I've gotten to know those guys. Went to school with a couple of their kids, and they've all been pretty awesome.
Nice. Okay. I think in the 5 minutes or so that we have left, I wanted to ask. As soon as the world gets its stuff together, what's up next for you?
Well, we hope to be touring. I was working on putting together, a tour southeast and beyond, and trying to build our fan base beyond the southeast. And everything's shut down, and people are kind of afraid right now to schedule things because they don't know if things are going to backslide or go forward. And so, I'm always writing. I'm always looking forward to the next projects, but I'm ready to be on the road playing in front of real people and less in front of a computer screen and more in front of live audiences, which is kind of distracting now, to be honest, because I got so used to not being able to see people, and I love it. So I get distracted watching people and enjoying it.
Speaking of live shows, I went to the absolute best live show I have ever seen a couple of years ago. It was Eric Church at Nissan Stadium.
He's a great performer.
I was my favorite part of that show. Well, I mean the entire show just absolutely slayed. Okay, let's just get that out right now. The entire show just absolutely slayed. But my favorite part of the show was he was doing his song Springsteen, and in the outro of the song, he stopped singing. 50,000 people just right on cue just picked it up. Coolest thing I've ever experienced as a music fan. Seriously, coolest thing I've ever experienced.
That is the coolest thing you can ever experience.
I'm sitting there, and I was with my aunt and uncle. I turned to them and I go, "I've got chills right now, y'all." It was just mind blowing.
I've had some people that aren't musicians say, "Oh, I hate it when they do that because I want to hear the artist sing, not the audience." But as a songwriter, as an artist, having people sing your songs and your creations back to you, that's one of the coolest, most incredible feelings ever.
And as a music fan, I was just like, I can die happy now.
Right. I mean, Garth Brooks is still the best I've ever seen live. And I saw him back in the 90s. I also saw him when he came here for the Flood concerts. And, he's a true entertainer. So is Eric Church, Keith Urban. And that's what I want to be considered. I'm an entertainer, not just a singer. And it's amazing.
Right. And I'm glad you mentioned Garth Brooks because I actually met Garth back in June. He was playing the listening room there in Nashville. Now, as soon as I heard about this, I'm like, "Hey, Garth Brooks playing a listening room venue? That doesn't usually happen."
I mean, no, it doesn't. And Listening Room's a great venue. I know the owner. He's a friend of mine. And the thing is, like, that's where it all comes from. So I think that anytime somebody gets a chance to kind of go back to their roots, it's great for them as well. And it kind of gives a little more of an intimate atmosphere for everybody to hear the music. But Garth's one of those that he can sing a ballad or he can sing a rocker, and you're hanging on every word. And, I mean, that's really what I aspire to do.
Agreed. Seriously, Garth is the absolute nicest man in the industry.
I haven't met him yet.
He is just the absolute kindest man. I mean, I went backstage. Somehow or other. My mom talked her way backstage somehow, and I ended up meeting him. So I talked to him for a good maybe 5 or 10 minutes. We talked about 90s country, the people that influenced him coming up, and I told him about the podcast that I do, and I'll never forget this. He goes, "Good. We need people like you out there helping independent artists."
Yes.
That was like God coming down and saying, "Son, you're doing something right."
Yeah, absolutely. And those little validations are huge, especially in the indie world.
Yep, and especially coming from Garth. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, that's like the highest compliment you could get. That's something
from Garth.
That's the highest compliment you could get. I did have one more question for you before we wrap things up. Is there anything that we haven't covered today that you'd like to talk about?
Well, I would love for everybody to check out the Carolina Coast music video. We put out a video for Six String Showdown shortly after we released it, and we put out a video for Carolina Coast, which was actually a single last summer, but we just decided to revamp and put the music video out this year. And so I'd love for everybody to go check that out on YouTube, both of them. And really visit the website, AmandaPageCornett.com, know I am Paige, and check out the music. And if you like it, purchase it. And I'd say that for any individual, any independent artist you like to listen to.
Awesome. Well, thank you again for doing this, Amanda. This has been so much fun.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And I got to tell you, too, and I tell this to pretty much everybody that I talk to, but if there's ever anything that you need from me, whether it's a promotion for a new single or just anything at all, I mean, outside of the industry as a friend or whatever, you know, don't ever hesitate to reach out, okay?
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. Well, I think I'm gonna let you go and let you get back to your evening, but you have a open invitation back to the show anytime that you wanna come back on, okay?
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, I'll talk to you later, Amanda.
All right, bye bye.
All right, bye. Well, hope you guys enjoyed our interview with the lovely Miss Amanda Paige Cornett. That girl is just such a sweetheart. Okay, slight schedule change. I guess we still have Indie Country Radio this Friday, but this coming Thursday at 11:30 a.m. Central, which I haven't done a morning or a day show in so long, but we have the incredibly talented Miss Sophia Warren joining us. So I think with that, I think I'm going to end the episode right here. You've been listening to Weekdays with Murph. Thank you and goodbye.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.